This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
God bless you, Times Square Church. Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua. You can just open anywhere. We'll get to the particular verse in just a couple of minutes. But it's found in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. I've entitled this message tonight, When the Rock is Called to the Witness Stand. I had fun with that title, but I believe it'll speak to our hearts tonight. Father, we thank you that you have been with us all day today. Lord, we've come to worship you. We've come to praise your name. We want to thank you that you are the Lord of heaven and earth. You know every secret of every heart. We have no way that we can turn or change a heart in our own strength. But Lord, you are the one who knows us inside out. And I pray tonight that you would speak to every person in this house. Speak of your love, speak of your grace, and speak of your incredible mercy. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Death is an appointment that we will all keep. No one has actually ever been late for this appointment. You will keep it. It's appointed unto man once to die and then there is a judgment. Now, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, there will be a time that you'll have to stand before the Lord as He is the judge of all hearts and all minds and all lives. Now, what if God, in this moment of your defense, when you stand before Him, He says, I want to bring a rock to the witness stand. Now, that sounds like a crazy thought. It's a strange title to a message. It begs for an explanation. You mean you're talking about a real rock? Yes. I'm talking about a real rock. What if God would say, I want to bring this rock to the witness stand as a witness against you? Well, we think, well, maybe, Pastor Neil, you're taking license in the scriptures. Would God really use a rock? Well, let me give you a little bit of information about what the scriptures relate about a rock. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, it says, and this is when there were those Pharisees that they were boasting in the fact that they were of the lineage of Abraham. And in that dialogue, Jesus turned to them in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, and he said, think not to say within yourselves that we have Abraham to our father. So don't just think that your lineage is going to be enough for you. I want you to understand, this is what Jesus is saying. He says, for I say unto you that God is able to take of these stones and raise up children unto Abraham. Jesus was saying, I'm able to take these rocks, this piece of dirt, this hardened piece of dirt, this rock, whatever properties it has within it. He says, I'm able to take this stone, these rocks, and I'm able to raise up children unto Abraham with all their faculties. After all, beloved, you and I, if they had to just take our physiological body and just break it down and separate all the particular elements, I think in someone's calculation with all the different elements that we have, the iron, the potassium, and all those things within our body, I think we are worth, broken down in the natural state of affairs, if our body was just broken down into all these little pieces, I think we're worth about $1.50. That's what we made up of. So it's not an incredible thing for Jesus to say. After all, he took the dust of the earth and he made man. This is how God originally created Adam. And then he breathed into him the breath of life. And so Jesus says, I can take up these stones and I can make children unto Abraham. In Luke chapter 19, verse 40, and he answered and he said unto them, this is when he was coming into Jerusalem. And as he was coming in, riding upon a donkey, everybody was singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. And they're singing unto the Lord as they come in, and people were offended by this. And they came to him and they said, you should stop these people from singing unto you. But Jesus comes back in Luke chapter 19, verse 40, and he answered and he said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones, the very rocks themselves would begin to immediately cry out. You couldn't stop the rocks from crying out, Hosanna to the Lord. And so we see that he shows us that rocks, there's a potential in these things. And so will he take a rock and bring it to the witness stand? Well, in the last chapter of the book of Joshua, turn there with me to Joshua chapter 24. These are the last days of this great leader, Joshua, who brought the people from the wilderness. He was with Moses in Egypt and walked all those 40 years with Moses in the wilderness. And then Joshua was the man who took the children of Israel through the Jordan River and into the promised land. Now, years after fighting the enemy and establishing the land, we see that Joshua is about to depart. He's old and he's about to die. And so he's talking, he's got all the people gathered together, and you can read the whole chapter at your leisure, but in verse 23, he says, now therefore, he's talking to the people, and he's encouraging them. He's saying, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Now look at verse 26 and 27. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law. All these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a great stone, and he set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua, so if you think I'm crazy about a rock at the witness stand one day, you've got to call Joshua, the leader of God, crazy as well. Because Joshua said in verse 27, and he said unto all the people, behold, this stone, or this rock, shall be a witness unto us. For it has heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. Now, beloved, you've got to just take a look at this. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua is either crazy or he knows something. He says, this rock, you see this big, huge rock? I'm going to roll this thing under this oak tree right here. This rock has heard all the words of the Lord. And if you walk away from the Lord, this rock is going to be a witness of everything that you've said and everything that had heard from God. This rock will be a witness against you one day. An amazing thing that this stone that he would say has heard all the words that God had spoken. It was right there by the sanctuary. You just wonder what was penetrating into that rock. Now, if you think this is far-fetched, let me give you some other facts. In this country, billions of dollars are spent every single year on research, on intelligence gathering, satellites, that eye in the sky. Both Russia and the United States have satellites that at this very present time are circling the globe. And they give continuous information of the movements of every ship and every plane that takes off, every ship that leaves a harbor. There are satellites that are tracking every single movement. We have today in our automobiles and sometimes on our little handheld phones, we have GPS. That GPS, that global positioning system. It's amazing how that you can be riding down the road. You take a wrong turn, it says reconfiguring. This thing is tracking you. Everywhere you go, it's tracking every single movement that you're making. So from this eye in the sky, we've got this GPS that is giving us directions, but it's also tracking you. Your cell phone is a honing device that they can track exactly where you are by the signal that your phone is emitting all the time, whether you're on it or not. Amazing that this is what is taking place in the technology. So when we think of what man has done, when we think of all this technology on how God has zeroed in, and man has zeroed in and tried to, you know, track every whereabouts, a ship leaving, I'm telling you, it has been tracked by satellites orbiting this earth. Well, how much more when we read the scriptures do we begin to understand how much God understands and knows us? Psalm 94 verse 11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man." Listen to what Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 20 tells us. Listen to this. It says, "Curse not the king." Don't curse the king. "Not in your thoughts, and curse not the rich in your bedchamber." In other words, when you get home at night, you close the door and you just ramble off a whole bunch of curses. See, Ecclesiastes says, don't even do that. Don't speak about other people when you get home. Just because you are behind closed doors and you've closed the door and all the walls are surrounding you and there's nobody else there except maybe your spouse or, you know, a roommate or something. Don't speak bad about the pastors. We know that you do. We know you go home and shut the door and go, "Man, grumble, 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 grumble." Ecclesiastes tells us that if you've got a grumbling spirit, a little bird is going to take your thoughts and your words, and he is going to tell that to the king. Boy, this gives enough to put a fear in my heart. We never talk about you. We always pray for you. I think of the story about Elisha when the king of Syria was battling against Israel. And this king would be going into this bedchamber or into this closed area, and he'd take all of his generals, and you can read this in 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 8 through 12. You can read the whole story, but here we have an incredible story of this king is making these secret plans. But as the plans are being made in secret, God is just speaking those secret plans to Elisha over here. And he's going to the king of Israel. Don't go by that pass. Why not? Because the king of Syria is going to be there. And so the king of Syria would go to that pass and Israel would have gone in another direction. This happened several times, and he got to the place and he says, "There's got to be a traitor among us." And one of his generals comes to him and says, no, it's none of us. But everything that you speak in that closed community of your bedchamber, God reveals it to his servant, the prophet, and reveals the plan of the enemy. Beloved, I got to tell you today that there are times as Christians, I believe this with all of my heart, that you're walking down a street and you see the Holy Spirit knows what's around the corner. God knows all things. He is the revealer of all hearts, beloved. You've got to understand that God sees every individual. Although there might be on a full work day something like 13 million people on the island of Manhattan, God sees every single heart. He knows every single thought that is going on in their minds. And one day in eternity, you're going to understand that when you are walking down the street and God will drop something into your heart, do not go down that road. I want you to turn around and go back to your apartment, and I want you to walk around the block and go this way. But God, that doesn't make any sense to me. But God says, no, just do it. Because he already knows what the enemy is doing, and he can reveal the secrets of an enemy and put them into your heart, and you can find safety. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want to ask you a question tonight. What if, now we discussed that God can take these stones and raise up people unto himself. We saw the scriptures that said if these people be quiet, these stones will begin to speak out. We also saw in Joshua that he rolled this huge stone and he said, this rock has heard everything that has been communicated by God and it'll be a witness against you. So let me ask you a question. What if God were to take a piece of the wall of your apartment or your house, when you close that door to your bedroom and you think you're all alone, what are the walls hearing you say? What are they hearing when you speak when to everybody else round about you? You're the good guy. You're the great guy. But yet when you get home and you close the door, what kind of abuse comes out of your mouth? What kind of cursing is in your heart that begins to be spoken? What kind of things go on behind closed doors? What if God, one day in eternity, when you stand before him and you didn't say anything out in public, you didn't say anything about your life going on outside in public at all, and you feel pretty good to stand before God. But what if on that day, this is just a what if. This is just my thoughts. These are just my thinking as I read the scriptures. But what if God, and you suddenly see on the counter or on the bench, and you see a piece of wall. Oh, I recognize that color. I painted that color in my room. And God says, that piece of wall has knowledge and has heard everything that you've ever said and spoken. Beloved, it's a scary thought to think that that could happen. Now, I'm not going to say it is going to happen. But if it did, what is going on when you are alone? What is coming out of your life when nobody else is seeing? What is taking place of the little secrets that you natter, natter, natter to somebody else when you think nobody is around? You see, God hears every single thing that is going on in your heart and that's coming out of your mouth. He sees it. And one day, that record is going to be held as a witness against you. It's going to happen. And we understand that. You know, it was written on a wall. I just think of this one particular stone wall of a medieval castle. And somebody had taken some kind of an object and engraved little by little upon the stone wall of this medieval castle. And it said, and this is what it said, you call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. Can you imagine one day those who lived in that medieval castle, when they stand before a living God, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then there is a judgment. Can you imagine if God has got this inscription of this medieval castle, this on these stones right there on the bench, and that begins to speak of what took place in that castle years ago? You see, beloved, I don't want to stand in heaven's courtroom one day and the gavel come down and bang on that bench and declare me guilty. I want to be able to stand before a living God one day and know that I have been totally forgiven. You see, it's today. It's now. This is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God would call you to say, make peace with God. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We do not know what has been planned or plotted in the minds of evil people against this country. We don't know of the difficult times that are coming into the United States. We don't understand what may be what we'd call a peaceful lifestyle now might be turned into havoc in time ahead of us. We don't know when we would walk out of this house and find ourselves in a moment of time in eternity. We have a very wonderful, blessed senior lady that was in this house for many years. And she was with us this last Thursday in the prayer meeting. She was there praising God. We loved her. And yet this lady on Thursday, she was worshiping God in the prayer, on intercessory prayer. And then on Friday, this is how it needs to be, beloved. This is how every Christian should go. She was in the prayer on Thursday. On Friday, she went to bed at night and she closed her eyes and she woke up in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't know when our time and our moment is going to come. But the Bible says that there is another rock that will take the witness stand one day. The Bible calls this rock in Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. David spoke about this rock in 2 Samuel 22 verse 3 and said, The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. But it is the psalmist in Psalm 61 who says it this way in verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. You see, the psalmist was saying, when he was saying from the end of the earth, what he was declaring, he says, even if you are the farthest place from God, from the ends of the earth, from that place that you find yourself, the very farthest from God, from the very depths, maybe of depravity or thought life or actions, but you find yourself in the house tonight and you can identify with this particular psalmist who says in Psalm 61 verse 2, from the end of the earth I've lived, but I am at the very end of my tether. I'm the farthest place from God. But this is what he says in 61 verse 2. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, beloved, if you can understand, it doesn't matter where you are tonight, that God, you begin to cry out to the Lord, He will hear your cry and He will bring you into that place. Hallelujah. I remember a time when I was just so far from God. I was sleeping in apartment buildings on the top of roofs. I was sleeping in stairwells. I would park my motorcycle inside, lock it. And this is when I was a young person. And when the party is all over and all your friends have gone back to their own place and nobody's invited you home, and you are the most loneliest person on the face of the earth, I remember those days so well. I would wait and I would park my motorcycle, and then I would just hang around the streets, and then I would slip into a building and find a place where there was a stairwell that wasn't occupied. Most of the time it was office buildings, because there would be hardly anybody traversing the stairwells. I found myself sleeping on stairwells, on top of buildings, in the park, on the grass. And it was in those moments, I remember the day so well, when I was walking down the street one day and I was just so tired. I was so lonely and I was so desperate in my heart that I cried out, and I wasn't praying. This wasn't a literal prayer. Lord, I'm praying, will you hear me? This was just a cry that was coming out of my being when I said, oh God, just come and take my life. I wanted it ended. I didn't want to go on. I was miserable. I wasn't happy. I might have been smoking marijuana at night and thinking I was having a good time, but when the party ended, I was lonely. I was lost. And this cry came up, and shortly afterwards there was an accident. I got hit by a car on my motorcycle. It caused me to go back to my hometown, and from my hometown I went to my Nolene, who I knew as a friend, and she took me to her sister, to her mom, and her mom was just, we thought we prayed this person out of our life, and now he's back. On the way back, she says, let's see my sister. And the sister and her husband just say, you got to go to church. You got to go to church. No, I don't want to go to church. No, I don't want to go to church. You got to go to church. I don't want to go to church. They went to church. They came back. They gave us lunch. You got to go to the evening service. You got to go to church. You got to go to church. I said, no, get them off my back. Tell them we'll go and then we're heading out. That day, January 1972, altered the course of my life. From that simple cry, God heard it. If you're in a stairwell, He'll hear the cry. From the ends of the earth, He will hear the cry. And He will begin to lead you to the rock that is higher than us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is our advocate. You know, and if there's a rock that is going to accuse you of all the evil things that it has heard you say and heard you do, there's another rock that will testify for you called Jesus Christ, the righteous, if you accept Him. This rock will, He will always tell the truth, as we read in the scriptures, that He is a rock of truth. Jesus will agree with everything the accuser will say about you. He will say, yes, they are liars. Yes, they were adulterers. Yes, they are thieves. Given the chance, they'll still kill. Yes, everything the accuser says, Your Honor, they are guilty as charged. Everything that the accuser says about you is probably 100% right. And Jesus will not deny the fact that these things have happened in your life. But He says, hold on, Your Honor. I testify that those things that this rock is saying about this individual, these things are right. These are true. But I want you to know, Your Honor, that I came down. I took off my robe of glory. And I came down to this world. And I took upon myself the form of a man. And I went to an old rugged cross one day. And I took upon myself all the sins of mankind. I took on the anger, the wrath, the violence. I took upon myself the filth. I took upon myself every sin of mankind. And on that cross, I was nailed to that cross. And when my blood was shed, Your Honor, I want you to know, yes, they are guilty. But they have trusted in me and I have paid the price for their sins. I declare them tonight innocent and free. And they will never be bound through all eternity. Hallelujah. I declare them free. Glory be to God. A young college student, and I'm going to close with this. A young college student was driving home for Thanksgiving. This was originally in a Reader's Digest, and has been used many times as illustrations. But a young college student driving home for Thanksgiving, she was late getting started, she was speeding, and she was racing through the small town, just speeding through it. But she was stopped for excessive speed and required to be placed in the county jail. This was Wednesday. The next day was going to be Thanksgiving. And she would be there until Monday. She had no money to call her parents. She had not a penny to her name. She was low on gas. She wanted to get home. And so she couldn't even call her parents. She was scheduled to see the judge that afternoon. And he heard her plea. She came into the courtroom and she sat down and he heard her plea. But the gavel came down. No matter how she pleaded, I'll never do it again. I'm adding to the story. But the gavel came down that day. $300, young lady, or a month in the county jail. She burst into tears. She had no money. She couldn't call home. She was just a broken young lady. But the judge, remembering that he too had a daughter, he stood up And little by little, he just unbuttoned his robe and he took it off his shoulders and he placed it over his chair. He turned out and he walked away from the bench. He walked down the courtroom as though he were leaving. He turned back, he walked back down, and he stood next to this young girl. He reached into his pocket and he took out $300. And he put that down on the table and he looked up at the empty chair and he said, "Your Honor, I will pay the fine." And everybody's looking at this judge. He walked, he turned away from this young lady, he walked back up, he got up to where his bench was, he picked up his coat, his cloak, he put it on, he buttoned it up, and he looked down at the empty space next to the girl, and he said, "I accept it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young lady, you're free to go home. Beloved, Jesus, he came down, he knew you were guilty and had no means to pay. He took off his robe in glory and he came down and he said, "I will pay." And he came back to the bench and he says, "I accept the payment." God accepted the payment. And for every person who puts their trust in Jesus Christ, you can have a rock one day that if he should choose, a wall from your apartment may testify against you. But our rock, Jesus Christ, that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:4, "And did all drink at the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that same spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ." Hallelujah. Give him thanks tonight, beloved. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to be very sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. For there are people here tonight who they only have one rock, and that is the rock that would accuse them as a witness. They don't know the rock called Christ, who will be able to set them free. I'm going to ask you to stand and very quietly just begin praying. Just stand where you are. And I'm going to ask every single person in this house, you've heard this very simple message tonight, and you know that if you were to die tonight, you know, if you were to die tonight, that you would go into a lost eternity. You know it. You've never made peace with God. You may even be religious. You may have grown up as a Catholic, a Methodist. I grew up as a Methodist, but didn't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There's some people who've grown up in religious environments, but they don't know or have made peace with God. But while we are here tonight in the solemnness of this moment in time, God has seen your cry. He knows, in that same four walls that you've cursed, you've been angry, but he's also seen a cry for help. He knows that you need him. I'm going to ask you right now, unashamedly, Jesus went to a cross, unashamedly, for the whole world to see. He went to a cross for you and me. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, religious, yes, but never accepted him as your Savior, I'm going to ask you right now, just step out from where you are in the balcony. Just step out from your seat. Just step out and come down. We're going to wait for you right here. Just step out of your seats and come down to this altar here tonight. We're going to wait for you right here in the main sanctuary. If you've never accepted Jesus, and it's a very small, narrow altar call. You've never accepted Jesus, step out of your seat. Just step out and make your way down here. We're going to sing and we're going to wait for you. And if this is the only person that comes here tonight, I'm telling you, Jesus went to the cross, sir, just for you. Just for you. Just for you. And for you, sir. And for you. Hallelujah. Step out. Come down to accept Jesus as your Savior. We'll wait for you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to me, folks. The Bible says, listen to what the Word of God says. It says that if, this is in 1 John, and we'll show this to you, but the Bible says that if you confess your sins, and just say, I'm a sinner, and say, God, I confess my sins. The Bible says that God is faithful to forgive you all of your sin. All of it. He will forgive you all of your sin. If you confess your sin, He is faithful to forgive you all of your sin and cleanse you from all of it. And then He says in another book in the New Testament, this place called, a book called Romans, and you'll get to understand it later on in life, but He says that if you will believe, if you will confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. You will be saved. So, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And in a very simple prayer, and then what we're going to do is we're going to lead you and we're going to put a Gospel of John into your hand tonight so that you can go home with a Gospel of John and the knowledge that your name, the Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and He has been knocking on your heart's door. If you open to Him, the Bible says He will come into you and live with you. And He'll eat with you, He'll walk with you, He'll be wherever you go. From tonight onwards, number one, your sins are going to be taken from your life. He will declare you totally, 100% forgiven. Number two, you will be, this word saved simply means that He'll take a pen and He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will have eternal life. If you were to die tonight, you're going straight to be with God in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then number three, He says that He will walk with you wherever you go. That's a marvelous thing. I want you to pray with me tonight. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes, and you pray this with me. I'm going to ask the congregation just to quietly pray with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge tonight I am a sinner. I confess my sins to you. I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against God. I've sinned against my own heart and against people. I ask you to forgive me. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I believe that you have been risen from the dead. I now invite you to come and live in my life. By faith, in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you tonight that these men and women at this altar tonight have made the greatest transaction that will last them all of eternity. Thank you that you drew them into this house tonight. You drew them to this altar. You've been speaking to them, and tonight you've changed their lives. And we say thank you, Lord, for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen. Please welcome these to the family of God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. What a marvelous day this has been. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the joy that is in your presence, the joy that's in your house. The security of the believer, Lord, the safety of knowing that we are in the hands of Almighty God, not only for time, but for eternity. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be afraid of tomorrow and all the trouble it holds, because you're already beyond that. You've already gone to the victory side, and in you, Lord, we already sit in heavenly places.
Thank you, Lord God, for those who have come to Christ tonight. We ask you, Father, to seal this work in their hearts. Don't let the enemy take it from them. God, let this be true and a genuine walk with you for the rest of their days. We thank you for it with all of our hearts. What a day to rejoice. What a day to give thanks to God. Praise God.
This is the conclusion of the message.